I'd like to take just a moment of personal privilege this morning. There was another terrible terrorist event last night, and it seems that these happen so often that we might become accustomed to it, and I pray that we don't. I hope we continue to be shocked each time these type of things happen. So I'd like to take just a moment to offer a prayer for our world. God of mercy, we lift up those who are hurting today. We lift up those who have hurt others, that they might have some wisdom. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray for those who hate. We pray for those of us who fear, and those who carry prejudice in their heart, whether we admit it or not. God loves us. We pray that we can forgive. We pray for wisdom in this world. We ask for leadership, which we are sorely lacking. In your name.
Our scripture lesson comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4.
Kai.
Alors, il battit à Saul du ciel en prit comme serviteur qui saoule avec un tête poisseuse et il remplit la maison où ils étaient. Et il leur apparut des rangs séparés, et qui se posent sur chacun de eux. Et ils furent tous saints et ils commenceraient à parler des langues étrangères. C'est là que l'esprit, le pays,
parlait.
The word of God is for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to thank our scripture readers this morning. That was a lot of fun for me. But we wanted you to have just a little taste of what it might have been like to hear all of those different people speaking. And it's a testament to our church that we're really this diverse. We discovered in trying to run this down that we have members of the church from 5 different continents, and who knows how many different languages are spoken here. But so it was exciting to do that, and I appreciate that. But today, by now, you figured out that we are commemorating the day of Pentecost. Surely you figured that out by now. And for Christians, the day of Pentecost is that day when we received that companion that Christ had promised us before he ascended into heaven. We were promised by Christ that we would never be left alone, that we would have this counselor that would walk with us through our lives, that we would have this comforter that went with us everywhere we go. And the Christian celebration of Pentecost celebrates a renewal of the relationship with God, and perhaps even an expansion of the relationship God has with his people, especially in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts talks about the Holy Spirit as this roaring wind that comes down with signs of fire appearing above each of the apostles' heads, and they were filled with the presence of God. They began to preach to the crowds that had gathered to celebrate the Jewish festival of weeks. There were thousands and thousands of people from the known world had all come together for this celebration. The crowd was made up of people just like this congregation from all over the world. There were people from every race, every nationality, every religious belief, and any other division that you can think of. They had gathered there in Jerusalem, and they noticed these men off to the side who very obviously were preaching and were motivated and very charismatic in what they were doing. But as they saw them, they listened and suddenly realized that they were preaching in their own language, that they were telling the good news of Jesus Christ in a way in which all the people of the world could understand. I know I've talked to you before about the A-Leaf community, just less than 5 miles from where we are sitting today. It is said to be the most diverse community in the most diverse city in the world. They have their own school system up there, A-Leaf Independent School District, and within that school district, there are 89 different languages and dialects spoken, which is good news. It's down from 92 last year. Can you imagine how difficult it is for those children that aren't native English speakers to learn? How difficult it is for those poor teachers who care for their students and are trying to figure out how to communicate with them? Imagine what a difference it would make if they could understand each other in the blink of an eye, just as those who were gathered that day for Pentecost could. After his resurrection, Jesus had told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Acts 1. We talked about that from here, the pulpit last week. A few days later, just as Jesus had promised on this day of Pentecost, it came to pass. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a spirit that had been a part of creation from its earliest understandings. This spirit, this rushing wind, is not anything new. It's been talked about all the way through the Bible. Genesis 1:2, a wind from God swept down over the face of the waters, taking part in the very creation. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The Spirit is mentioned over and over and over in Genesis, in Exodus, and on through the Bible. See if you recognize these words from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit is not something new. It's not something that has just happened just because Jesus has gone home to be with his dad. You see? But nevertheless, we talk about the Holy Spirit in the same kind of words that we do with God and with Jesus, and I think that's appropriate, but I'm not sure we know exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to say that we have a grasp on who Jesus and who God really are, but I suspect if somebody stopped you on the street and asked you to talk to them about Jesus, you could probably get along with it. I'm not so sure that the same would be true of the Holy Spirit. You might struggle just a little more as you tried to do that. Don't worry. The Bible doesn't do much better. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what the Holy Spirit is. It doesn't give us any definition, but rather it talks about the Holy Spirit as an experience. as a part of the lives of the people who were gathered there that day. We read about the acts of the Holy Spirit there on that day of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit had been promised by Jesus before he left. He told us that he would not leave us alone. What we're told here is exactly what the Holy Spirit's actions were that day. A rushing wind coming down. How you could see the flames over the heads of the apostles who were gathered there. As what I suspect that symbolizes is the way their hearts were burning for Christ. Doesn't necessarily make it any easier for me, because nowhere does it say, okay, the Holy Spirit is. We read about the Spirit doing this and doing that, or filling this or flowing here, but we really just don't know. You see, the word for Spirit in Hebrew really is broadly translated as wind and to spirit and to breath. In Greek, pneuma is pretty much the same thing. It's sort of hard to really pin down. But it goes back to where so many people have tried to explain it. Even the ancient Greek philosophers talked about this type of thing in the Stoicism. They would have related it to the anima mundi, the spirit or the soul of the world, where they talked about everything in creation was connected. It's not necessarily a Christian philosophy, but I think it kind of communicates what we are talking about with the Holy Spirit, because at least they're acknowledging that there's something greater than themselves. Before leaving this earth, Jesus had comforted the disciples. He told them that he would not leave them as orphans, but would send the Holy Spirit to be with them forevermore. He told them that this Holy Spirit would live inside of them, would carry them, and would love them. He told them that this Holy Spirit would give them boldness and power as they went out into the world to preach the gospel. So on this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples that day and became a living presence with them as a gift from Jesus. It was a living presence in their world and in their lives. God became very, very real to them. Real in a way that had never been seen before. Our own experiences of the Holy Spirit are very unique and very personal. On that day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that there were over 3,000 people that were baptized and brought to Christ that day. What a wonderful thing. That very same experience is open to every one of us. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here in this room with us. The Holy Spirit is here on this earth with all of us. This is what God has offered to us. So what exactly is the Holy Spirit? Who here has ever claimed to hear me claim to be a great theologian or to have all the answers? If you say yes, you're a liar. But there are a couple things that I can tell you about the Holy Spirit that is the good news for all of us. The Holy Spirit is a manifestation of God that lives within us. The Holy Spirit is our companion, our guide, our mentor. The Holy Spirit can be guiding and upholding us if we will but listen. The Holy Spirit is this present activity right here in our midst. You got that? The Holy Spirit is that voice that we hear, that still quiet voice that speaks out to us wherever we are, that fills our soul with joy, or gives us that peace that we are constantly searching for. Sometimes the Spirit works in solitary ways when we are alone, where it comes to us individually and fills us. Sometimes the Spirit comes when we are in community with others that are gathered in God's name. But whenever and wherever we are, we can experience God's leading, God's challenge, or God's support and comfort. And we say that's the Holy Spirit at work. I still haven't said the Holy Spirit is what, and I won't anytime I get through. But I've shared with you before that I'm jealous of those of you that have had this religious experience where a bolt of lightning struck you and you knew that you were to be a Christian for the rest of your lives. I'm jealous. My story is a little different than yours. But I can confidently tell you that I have experienced the Holy Spirit filling my life. Not one time or not twice, but over and over and over again. When I take time to be quiet and to be still, I can find that comfort that fills me. I find that comforter that I can lean on. Before I came in here this morning, I closed the door of my office, turned the lights out, and spent a moment, not necessarily in prayer, but quietly, and I felt the Holy Spirit come on me. I have been with the Holy Spirit the first time that I left home. I remember the Holy Spirit being with me when my babies were born. I have experienced the Holy Spirit when Wanda and I are down in the Caribbean enjoying the sea there. And I experienced the Holy Spirit the day that my mother died. Now, these are my encounters with the Holy Spirit. Yours may be very different. In fact, it would be wrong to try to expect to have the same kind of experience that anybody else did with the Holy Spirit. We all feel it in different ways. It fills us in different ways. But it's there. It's there for us to lean on. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is real? Well, there's a story is told of a 10-year-old boy that was out on a beautiful spring day flying a kite. It's gorgeous and the wind is blowing and the kite continues to go higher and higher into the sky and until it was completely out of sight. There was a man came along and asked the little boy what he was doing. He said, well, I'm flying a kite. And the man looked up and said, I don't see a kite. How do you know it's there? And the little boy said, because I can feel it. And it's that way with the Holy Spirit as well. As Christians, we believe that God is love and that God continues to pour out into our lives through this Holy Spirit. It's easy for us to get confused and to fall off the path. But the Holy Spirit is with us and is available to us every day. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is all around us. The Holy Spirit is yours. It can fill you. It can flow through you. It can come down on you like a rushing wind or a burning flame. But the Holy Spirit is here for us All we have to do is open our hearts. Amen.
And now receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as you leave this place, may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Because when he looks at us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He says, wow, you are nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you left here believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Go in peace.